The 552nd edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick-up for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And we're also brought to you by the NFL Draft Bingo. Play NFL Draft Bingo for free for a chance to win a $100 SGPN gift card exclusively on the SGPN app.
Howdy ho, degenerinos. Welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 552 goes out to Rusty Tenacoon, one of our viewers on YouTube. A good name and a cheerleader of sorts for our podcast. This is your obligatory reminder. Subscribe to YouTube. Help us get those numbers up there. Thank you for coming to the show, regardless of how you are consuming it. Thank you for letting us be part of your degenerate life. I'm one your host, Jeff Chalks Fox, and we got big news, ladies and gentlemen. The UFC is back. They take a week off, and it seems like forever. They should do. They actually should do that more often because it makes you actually miss them and not mind a UFC Apex card on a Saturday night. But yes, the UFC is back. Of course, we did not go anywhere. This is our fifth day in a row. Sunday,
fourth,
Monday, Tuesday,
fourth
day in a row. Tomorrow will be fifth because we went deep. We went deep this week with regional. I hope hopefully you enjoyed our regional episodes. But we're back with the big leagues now. UFC Apex card. And the other big news is the people in the main event 60 pounds lighter than they normally are for the UFC Apex. So that's big news. Let's bring in my chuckling sidekick. I won't just bring him on for his amazing picks. I also need someone to laugh occasionally at my jokes, or at least sell all of my jokes. It's the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland, the regional MMA god. Hello.
Yeah, Saturday was actually a pretty filled day of MMA for me. I think I watched like 8 hours of MMA on Saturday.
No way. UFC. See, yeah, this guy is no UFC on too.
Octagon had some real bangers of fights on. And then Cage Warriors was not dull. But like I wouldn't call them necessarily all good fights. There were just like a couple of fights where people forgot they were in fights for a few moments. But like Octagon really delivered. So there was lots of MMA. And then I totally forgot there was Fury FC on Sunday and was treated to a little midday action there as well. So yeah, there was a big weekend, and now we're back with the so-called major league that might not actually this card might not be as good as Octagon 56. We're gonna talk a lot about it, so buckle up.
Wow, what a salesman this guy is, eh?
I don't know. Are you excited for another Mowgli Benitez fight? Like, is that
sure? Oh, so you, right away you're tipping your hand that you're not going to pick Mowgli. Ah, interesting, interesting.
Do you usually pick guys on five fight losing streak or four fight losing streak?
No, he's 1-3. He's 1-3 over his last four.
Please excuse me. Who did he beat?
Yeah, and he's fighting someone who's lost two straight, and he's already 1-2 in the UFC.
Who did Benitez beat?
I can't. We're already getting into this. I was gonna ask you how watching Fury's fight went, but I think you said Fury, not Furry. So never mind.
Yeah, I don't watch Fury's fight.
Okay, Fury. So Mowgli lost to Jim Miller.
He beat Charlie Ontiveros. He beat Charlie Ontiveros.
Yeah. Well, look who he lost to. He lost to Jim Miller, David Onama, Billy Quarantillo. You have problems with those losses?
He beat Justin Janes and Charlie Ontiveros, and those James are his only.
Can you just talk about Justin Janes before we went?
Yeah, Taco Padilla beat Justin Janes too. Yeah.
And Mahashate lost to Slava Claus and Rafa Garcia. So, I would take Mowgli's losses over Mahashate's. I'm gonna say that.
Should we start breaking this fight down?
people get upset when we don't break down fights immediately, so maybe that's why we just subconsciously broke down the fights. I think I should tell you about the NFL draft first, in case any of you aren't aware. You may get drafted tomorrow for the NFL, not for war. It's a form of war, but let's just jump into the NFL draft. If you're on YouTube, you'll see we have NFL draft bingo going on. We love to give away things to you people. The NFL draft is this week. It's Thursday by everything I've heard and read. And the Sports Gambling Podcast has you covered all week with NFL draft props, mock drafts, and their NFL draft watch party. Tune in Thursday night on Sports Gambling Podcast YouTube page and hang out with you guys for the best NFL draft watch party out there. Plus, make sure you download the SGPN app for your free shot at winning a $100 SGPN gift card with NFL Draft Bingo. You can win cool gear like the stuff Gumby and I wear. Notice I am not wearing any Phoenix Suns gear now because they suck. Bunch of losers. I am wearing my SGPN hat or SGP hat. So you can be cool like me and wear an SGP hat if you win the $100 gift card. Or even if you don't, you can use your hard-earned money that we're going to help you win, and you can buy yourself some gear, okay? Okay, I think I already know Gumby's pick for the first fight. Do we even need to break it down? Do I need to change my pick from Mowgli back to Mahashate?
I love that you're taking Mowgli. Come on.
Jump back and forth. All right, let's tell you what we're talking about. We're jumping right ahead. It's UFC Fight Night, Nicolau versus Perez. That's going down in the UFC Apex, a.k.a. The home of Jamahal Hill. If you ever need anything to him, Jamahal Hill, care of UFC Apex. And they'll deliver to him underneath the bleachers where he has his... I think it's a sleep bag. I don't think he has anything other than that. A cot, maybe. This is going down there, back to the Apex, but it's not middleweight. So Gumby is making it sound like the card's not very good, but it's not middleweight. It's as of now, flyweight's on the top. One of the fighters likes to pull out a fight, so we'll see. So that's why I said as of now. So
his DNA is an abomination.
He has an abomination of a DNA. That person who said that. Oh, the cruel irony. It's 4 p.m. Eastern is the start time. There's a positive for you. For the prelims, ESPN Plus, they are what we're covering today. And then tomorrow we'll do the other half of the card, which will be the main fight card. Thoughts on the prelims? Apparently, you don't think that they're very good.
Are you excited about Na Liang?
Oh, God. She's the one. She's on my hit list. She could be a lovely person, but she made me look dumb to someone who makes himself look dumb regularly on TV. So that makes me dumber than dumb.
Are you excited about Marnik Mann?
Oh, yes. We love our short queens around here. So yes, I am excited about that. We already discussed Mowgli. I'm excited about Mowgli. Thud is fighting though. That's good, right?
Yeah, Thud Hubbard. Thud Hubbard's a good one.
We got good nicknames. Okay,
I will say this. I think we're going to get exciting fights. That James Yontop fight versus Chris Vidya, if nothing else, will be exciting. Hubbard versus Figlak will be exciting. Yaya versus Victor Henry is going to be weird. Like, it's going to be real weird. And this opening fight will probably be weird, too.
Is Victor Henry ever not in a weird fight?
No, he's weird as hell.
Or Hani Yaya, for that matter. Yeah, that's...
Well, Hani Yaya is just one of those guys who's still, like, such an old-school specialist that, like, it's going to be weird no matter what.
But Scoots on the way, perhaps. Let's kick things. Thoughts on the odds without getting too specific?
Exactly what I expected for the most part. Okay. Yeah.
Ooh, well, look at you. Hot shot knows it all heading in. All right. Let's see if Gumby can do good with UFC picks as well, not just regional picks. Lightweights. Kicking off with lightweights. This fight is so exciting. We had to talk about it right off the get-go. It's a Mahashate. He just goes by that one name now. He's from China. He's a lightweight. He's fighting Gabriel Benitez he's from Peru, right? He's one of the original Peruvians. No, Mexican.
No, he's Mexican.
Excuse me. The wrong continent. All right. Tell you about Mowgli Benitez. First, we pretty much argued about his resume already off the top. He's 23-11, 9 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted 3 times. 7-7 in the UFC. 1-3 over his last 4, as we told you. He got submitted by Jim Miller in his last fight. It was kind of like, it was like a neck crank or something too, wasn't it? I don't think it was a legit submission, wasn't it?
He had beaten correctly. The hell out of him anyway. Yeah. I think it's kind of the point.
I think that is, but I think it was listed as, no, rear naked cage. Oh, a face crank. Yeah, that's what I thought. All right. So we got that. He used to fight down at featherweight, his missweight there before. So now he's up at lightweight. 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. So Gumby should like him, but apparently he doesn't. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, get the hat, get it all. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. Get sticky. Now that we can't get sticky in the Discord anymore, you're going to have to get, perfect time for that, for you to design that shirt, right? When you can't get sticky anymore in the Discord, thanks to Coach Leach, right?
Coach Leach is on his game.
Coach Leach, yeah, he's wrecking our merch sales, though. All right, Mowgli, 2007 debut, better striking stats, better grappling stats, and more active landing strikes than Mahashate. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.66 strikes per minute, plus 170. Mahashate, 9-3, 4 knockouts, 1 submission, been knocked out once, 1-2 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights, got TKO'd in his last fight, missed weight in the past, 1-0 on Contender Series. Used to fight at welterweight, 4 inches taller than Benitez, 11 years younger. He's been outstruck by almost 2 strikes a minute in the UFC. It's minus 1.95 to be exact. Is the strike differential. And he, speaking of 195, that's what he's at on the board. Minus 195. So I'm apparently taking Mahashate.
I'm kicking this one off. I'm taking Mahashate. Here's why. Benitez, I think if you look at all of his stats on the surface level, like all the stuff that you'd like to read off, I think those numbers are going to look a lot better because earlier in his career, he looked like he could beat some people. You know what I mean? Like if you go back to his early UFC fights, he was like a violence monster. You know, he'd come forward, he'd throw big combinations. And like, if you watch him now, he's not that guy anymore. He's a guy who's got like a little bit of jiu-jitsu skills, but largely like if you force him to stay on the feet, like he just gets beat up and backed up. You know, the Jim Miller fight for me was like the big piece. Like if Jim Miller keeps backing you up, boxing, and it's not that Jim Miller is a bad boxer, right? We've talked about his like renaissance as a power puncher, but he's not the type of guy who puts together combinations in such a way that you feel like you have to back up. And there were times in that fight where that's exactly what he did to Gabriel Benitez. Now we're going to give him Mahashate, who is freaking huge, right? This guy is so big for the lightweight weight class. And, you know, he throws that weight around. I'm not sure what you can think Gabriel Benitez's path to victory is. Do you think he's going to like hit the knockout blow? Do you think he's going to be faster than Mahashate? Do you think he's going to get on the inside? Because I just see Mahashate backing him up against the cage and then just like letting his combinations go. Because the people who beat Mahashate are the people who press him. And I don't know that Benitez can do that anymore.
Yeah, I was thinking about taking him, but you really can't. The age and the size.
You sounded so sure at the start.
I was thinking about it, but the more you actually think about it. I remember we liked Mahashate a few fights, but before he started, you know.
I love the size. I think the size is like a big determining factor in why people were hyped on him as a prospect. Yeah. He's clearly got holes, but like, I don't know that Benitez is the type of guy who's going to exploit him.
No, you can't really put you can't really put too much behind a guy who's going to be 36 soon and has, you know, looked his age recently and fighting against a guy who's going to be way bigger and 11 years younger. You know, those are massive deciding factors. And Mahashate is the type of guy who can probably bring it to him too. So he is the correct pick here. So despite the argument off the top, that is the correct pick. All right, let's move on. Shall we? We're going to go to the women's side. We already talked about this fight a bit too. This is a five minute round fight at women's flyweight, Ivana Petrovic from Croatia against Na Liang from China. We'll tell you about Liang first. Dragon Girl, 19-7, 6 knockouts, 11 submissions. Seems like she's a killer, Gumby, by that record. But knocked out 4 times, submitted twice. 0-3 in the UFC, all those via TKO. Has not won since January 2021. Used to fight at strawweight. 0-1 in Bellator, 2 years younger than Petrovic. Better striking stats. However, she's been outstruck by 2.55 strikes in the UFC by her opponents. Hence, 3 TKO losses. It all adds up. Plus 375. Petrovic, 6-1, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. 0-1 in never been finished herself. 0-1 in the UFC. That was her last fight, which she did lose. Was regional champion. 3 inches of height, 3 inches of reach over Liang. Got outstruck in her UFC debut by 1.26 strikes per minute. Minus 470. No love for the Dragon Girl. And obviously, I'm not giving my arch nemesis any love here either. So Petrovic, it looks like they're giving her a bounce back fight here. Liang, it's surprising that she's even still in the promotion at this point. I'll take the bigger, better striking fighter over Dragon Girl any day. So Petrovic is the pick.
I actually think she's a better grappler too. I'm just going to say that up front because Ivana Petrovic, like if you go back and you watch her stuff on the regional scene, she fought Ewina Wozniak, I think is how you say it. And she really dominated her in the grappling realm. And Wozniak is like a pretty legitimate grappler. I hope I'm saying that name right. Grappler in her own right. Okay, good. And it's
me telling you it. Yeah, you're reassured by me for sure.
Yeah, but it's like Ewina Wozniak. And she's like a pretty good grappler. So to see Petrovic kind of take it to her there, and she's got a ton of rear naked choke finishes too. Like she works to the back really well. She's got ground and pound finishes. I was going to look for trying to find a place to like find value on this. and Petrovic inside the distance. Do you want to guess what Petrovic inside the distance is?
I'm just looking that stuff up right now. I was hoping her TKO prop would be okay, but oh, okay, her TKO prop's all right. Maybe, her,
I saw plus 170 on the TKO prop,
yeah,
which is not great because she's got a ton of rear naked choke finishes. Like she could just take her down and sub her. And then
inside
I was like,
the distance is probably what?
Negative 250. Like that's not playable. In the sub one's only plus 155. This is such a mismatch, and Na Liang is so bad that there's not a playable fight on an 0-1 women's flyweight, right? Like Petrovic is 0-1 in the UFC, and there's nothing playable on her, which just goes to show you how bad Na Liang is. Like, I think Petrovic probably tries to make this a striking fight and not have to bring it to the mat. But if she does, like, she's going to dominate Na Liang, or Na Liang's going to get tired after one round, like she has, you know, in all of her fights. So, yeah, give me Petrovic. I don't care about the line.
Yeah, too bad. Nothing's playable there. All right. One place you will find things quite playable is Underdog Fantasy, our friends at Underdog Fantasy. I'm going to tell you about once I actually get the right tab open up on the phone here. Underdog Fantasy wants you to know the NBA playoffs are here. You probably know that already. And Underdog Fantasy wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing the pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball, or you can mix and match your sports across any sports that they offer. They offer most of them, and you can win up to 100 times your money if you nail your picks. And it's a ton of fun. It's even more fun if you win 100 times your money. You got to think. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. We're a state of the United States now as well. You can get all our Underdog Fantasy plays at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Gumby and I write daily articles. Gumby sometimes writes multiple articles about multiple sports. So check that out. We're always on Underdog Fantasy. They have lots of cool things there, like spicy plays and cool stuff like that. Plus, Underdog just launched Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. So if you're a Florida man or woman, check out Champions and make sure you sign up with our code, regardless of where you are, MMASGPN. And Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. It's Underdog Fantasy promo code MMASGPN. Speaking of Florida, I saw a headline before we went on air. MMA fighter wrestles live gator or loose gator in the street. Guess where that took place?
I'm guessing Florida. I was going to guess Mike Perry if you were looking.
It's some no name guy, but he wrestled a loose gator in Florida.
Isn't it really weird how when anybody who has been tangential to MMA at any point in time in their career does something in a local newspaper, it's like former MMA fighter, and you pull him up on Tapology, and it's a dude who is like 0-2 on the amateur rankings in Iowa somewhere, and you're like, former MMA fighter murders family in cold blood. And you're like, Jesus Christ, who is it? And you pull it up and it's an 0-2 AMI fighter from 2012.
It's not just local papers. It's like MMA sites do it too. They're probably more guilty.
Very true.
They need the clicks, I guess. They need, they're just content mills nowadays. Not us people at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. No. All right. We should move on, shall we? What are we moving on to? Let's check out what Tapology says, because we are Tapology cappers, the both of us here. We're going to the men's side. We're going to lightweights. James Yon Top, I like to call him Lalon Top. Or is it Yon Top?
It's Yon Top.
Yon Top. I like to call him Lalon Top. He is from Peru. There is a Peruvian I was hinting at earlier, which I labeled the wrong person, the Peruvian. He is fighting Chris Padilla for the United States of America. Like I said, this is that lightweight. 3 5-minute rounds. Padilla, Taco Padilla. Nickname is Taco. Fantastic. 13-6, 7 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. This is his UFC debut. He's won 3 straight fights and 4 of 5 multi-region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Get sticky. Used to fight at welterweight, 0-1 in Bellator, 2 inches of reach over Yon Top, plus 340. Yon Top, Goku is the nickname, which is like some nerdy Dragon Ball Z thing, I think, right?
Oh, you're
not a nerd, though.
You're going to get hate in the comments. I'm not a Dragon Ball Z guy, but you're going to get hate in the comments for that.
Well,
hey, if you
we don't have nerds, Dragon Ball Z nerds watching our show.
If you hate that, you would be surprised at the amount of MMA fans who are Dragon Ball Z guys. If you hate that Jeff said that, comment that Gumby's the best in the YouTube comments, please. Thank you.
Yes, please. Gumby is a low-key Dragon Ball Z guy. That was well after my time.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball Z is more your era.
I think it was my era, but definitely not my style, but you can't disparage Dragon Ball Z in an MMA community. You're asking for it.
All right, I am asking for it. Bring it, all you Dragon Ball Z. What are they going to
remember? Gumby is
fireball
great.
At me.
Gumby is great in the comments. If you hate that he said that,
great. Anyhow, hopefully Yon Top isn't watching or listening. Was he on your podcast?
Nope.
No. Yes. No. Okay. He's 14-2, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been submitted once. This is his UFC debut. He's won 12 straight fights. He's not lost since August of 2019. He's been busy over the past few years. 1-0 on Contender Series, regional champion. He's fight down to featherweight and up at welterweight, 3 inches height over Padilla, 4 years younger, -350. Gumby had a lot to say about Padilla off air. Let's see if he has lots to say about him on air as well.
Look, I actually think Taco Padilla against James Yanzop, like, it shouldn't be lined like this. I really like James Yanzop. In fact, you're probably not going to find an MMA analyst or whatever you want to call what we do. But you're not going to find somebody who is on YouTube talking about fights as high on all of the Peruvian fighters as I am. I'm very much here for all of the Peruvian guys, from the Prince of Peru to Kevin Borjas and to James Yanzop. Like, I love them all. I think Peru is like the new hotbed of MMA. With that being said, he shouldn't be this big of a favorite against Taco Padilla. I get the short notice piece. I get what's wrong with the sort of some of the ways that Taco Padilla fights, which I can get into in a second. But Taco Padilla is a gamer. Like, he is coming off of a win over Justin James, who is in the UFC. He's beaten and fought other really high-level guys. This is not like your average late fill-in who is inexperienced and isn't ready for this style fight. And he was ready for a fight at Uriah Faber A1, which is happening next month. Like, I think he's going to be in shape and ready to go. With that being said, here's why I don't like Chris Padilla in this fight, and I'm going to take James Yanzop in. If it was like a pick 'em or gun to my head pick, you know you'd love the gun to my head picks. I'm picking James Yanzop because Padilla, if you watch the way he fights, he moves forward at like a very heavy clip. And then he shoots a takedown when you're up against the cage. And sometimes he gets like trips and outside stuff. But my big problem is he doesn't enter the takedowns on the legs. He enters the takedown on the body. Sometimes he transfers to the legs, but he enters way too high. And it makes it very hard to finish against somebody who is really skilled at defensive wrestling. In addition to that, you got James Yanzop, who has an absolute motor, does not go away, and moves forward the whole time, which means if you are going to take him down, it has to be like a reactionary double, and I just don't think Padilla has that. I think Yanzop is going to outbox him here. I think he's faster on the feet. I think his boxing is more technical. If this was a full camp, I'd worry about Padilla's wrestling a little bit more. But the fact that Yanzop moves forward so well and Padilla gets the upper body more than he gets the lower body, I'm less worried. So give me Yanzop. But again, I'm staying way away from this line. Like, this is not an interesting line to me at whatsoever.
Yeah, I did forget to tell you, it is short notice as my voice cracks. Yanzop was supposed to fight Lando Venata, which would have been a very tough debut for him.
A banger. It would have been a banger. Two guys who don't move backwards.
Yeah, and then he's supposed to fight Gabe Green, and now he's fighting. Well, when was this fight announced? Was it this week? Was it, how long is it?
Last week, but like, okay. Yeah, but barely any time to prepare.
Yeah, short notice debut. Obviously, Yanzop's pick. He's a very good looking prospect too. A very aggressive, come forward type of guy. So he could be a fan favorite. Yeah, I like him here, but I'm not playing any lines, especially on a debuting guy. I'm not going to play any line. That hefty. All right, let's move back to the women's side. We're going down to strawweight. Ketlin Souza, Brazil. Marnik Mann, United States of America. She is the sawed-off savage, a.k.a. she's a short queen. 6-2, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been knocked out once. 0-1 in the UFC. Loss, win, loss of her last 3. 0-1 on Contender Series. Was regional champion. An inch of reach over Souza. More active landing strikes and better grappling stats than Souza based off their very small sample size of fights we have here to work with. Mann has been outstruck on Contender Series and the UFC by almost 4 strikes a minute. She's at -3.83 and she's at +275 on the board. Souza Esquindadinha. Do you remember her nickname? What it means?
Esquinadita?
Esquinadina, yes.
That's small and hot-headed. Tiny hothead.
Yes, she is small, but she's still 3 inches taller than Mann, because Mann is 5 feet, which means she's probably, 4'10 or something? Yeah. Souza is 5'3". She's also, in terms of record, 13-4. 8 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been knocked out twice, submitted it twice, so finished in both of her losses. 0-1 in the UFC. It was her only loss over her last 6. She did get submitted in that fight. 2-0 in Evicta, and the champion there. Used to fight at flyweight and at bantamweight. 3 inches of height, a year younger than man. She got struck in her debut by 1.71 strikes per minute, -335. So another big line. You got to take the favorite here, Souza. Obviously way bigger, fought better competition, you know, and is a better fighter than man here. So again, I'm not going near the line, but she's going to win the fight.
Yeah, I think she's going to win the fight too, especially because, like, what do you have to do as Marnik Mann in order to win this fight is close the distance and be in grappling range, right? Because, like, Marnik Mann, she's an all right boxer, but at 5 foot tall, like, who's she going to piece up, right? Like, who's she going to beat up on the feet? And Souza is coming from flyweight, right? Like, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. she fought at other weight classes. And at flyweight, she was the Invicta champion at flyweight. She beat Christina Warhorse Williams, who I've always been high on Christina Williams because she's, like, so tall and long and hard to get inside on. And Souza got inside on Warhorse. So, like, I can't imagine Marnik Mann taking advantage of those skills on Souza, because Souza is the type of person who takes advantage of those skills on other people. You know, she's the extra tough person in the clinch. She's the person who knows how to close the distance and knows how to turn this into an ugly grappling match. And despite the fact she lost in her debut, was it Karina Silva?
She lost to? Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
No shame in a loss. Right. And so, like, Marnik Mann is a colossal step down from that, especially in the grappling department. I think Souza Cruz is here, especially if she could turn this into a wrestling match. Like, if she turns this into a wrestling match, would not be surprised with the Souza submission.
Yes, Souza and Petrovic seem to be giving bounce back fights here. The UFC want to give them the wins.
They're two really fun prospects, to be fair, who got dealt really crappy hands in their first fights.
Yeah, sometimes the UFC do things right and they match make properly. Usually they don't, but in this case, it looks like they are trying to do the right thing by these two ladies that we've already covered. All right, we're going back to the men's side. We're going way, way up. We're going to heavyweights. Dontel Mays versus Cal Machado, who's listed as Brazilian, but we know he's Canadian through and through. Mays, Lord Kong.
Canadian citizenship now.
Yeah, there you go. A reason to fade him? We shall see. Lord Kong is what Mays goes by now. He's been various versions of Kong. He's now Lord Kong. I don't know if there's anything higher than that. Maybe that's as high as it goes. He's 10-6 with 1 no contest. He's been knocked out 6 people, and submitted 1. So 6 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. 3-4 with 1 no contest in the UFC. Loss, win, loss over his last 3. 2-1 in contender series. Was regional champion. Based on their last weigh-ins, he was 14 pounds heavier than Machado. 2 inches taller, 3 inches of reach on him. He's got better grappling stats. He's been outstruck in the UFC barely. He's at -0.24 plus the contender series fights. He's one of the rare people that have fought 3 times on contender series. Better grappling stats than Machado, +100, even money there. Bigfoot Machado, 8-2-1, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 0-1 in the UFC. That was his last fight that he lost. Who'd you lose to, Gumby?
Mick Parkin.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of, anyhow, we'll break that down in a second. 1-0 contender series, regional champion, 2 years younger than Mays, better striking stats, more active landing strikes. He's got a positive strike differential, 4.70 based off of the contender series in the UFC fight, -115. Is it me? Is it you?
It's me. It's you. And first of all, I'm just going to say this out front. He has a positive strike differential because Kevin Soflarski didn't throw a strike in that fight. They fought for 15 minutes and Kevin Soflarski threw like 7 strikes and landed 0. That's why we're here with those stats on Cal Machado. And first of all, let me just tell you, I've interviewed Cal Machado. Love the guy. One of my favorite interviews. The sweetest dude on the planet. Lovely person. I'm going Dontel Mays. Here's why I'm going Dontel Mays. In the last 2 fights, Cal Machado has shown me one very important part of his game. And that very important part of his game is that if somebody looks skilled across from him, he doesn't want to throw. He's done throwing down. Because when he was on the regional scene and he was beating people up in BFL and stuff like that in the regional scene in Canada, he got in people's face. He threw down. He shot takedowns. He unloaded with ground and pound. You put Kevin Soflarski across from him, not really throwing punches, and he barely matched Soflarski's pace. And as I mentioned before, Soflarski threw like 7 punches. Then you put him up against there and Mick Parkin, and same thing. he looked like he was not ready to get into a firefight. And Mick Parkin is not an exceptional striker. Mick Parkin does not scare me from a striking perspective, and it scared Khan Machado to the point where not only did he not move forward, but he looked tired shortly thereafter. I think Dontell Mays is a nightmare for Khan Machado in terms of skill and in terms of his fighting, his style. Like, he's going to move forward. He's going to throw absolute haymakers all the time. And I think he can stuff the takedowns of Machado too, is the other thing. It's like, if Machado chooses to shoot a takedown, like, we've seen what Mays' wrestling game looks like. It's actually not that bad. He humped that guy's face for like 5 minutes that time. Remember that? Quite literally, he humped that guy's face.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the problem here with Machado. Like, if you're asking for a path to victory, all of his finishes are by like mounted armbar. That's not happening on Dontell Mays. He's going to have to box with him. And I got no faith that he throws enough volume to do that.
I can't believe I'm agreeing with you, and I'm going with Mays as well. But yeah, you laid it out pretty much. How
so ugly.
Yeah. Mays has got the size and the reach to utilize it in a striking battle. So do you see a knockout here, or you think you're just going to beat him up?
I don't know. Machado is kind of durable. Anytime I've seen him get hit big, it doesn't even seem like he's wobbled.
Yeah, he's never been finished. So, yeah.
The only thing that makes me think perhaps he gets finished here is how tired he gets. Like, if he got real tired in the third and Dontell Mays just like dropped a bunch of bombs, get the right referee in there and get stopped.
Yep. 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 All right.
Our favorite crunch play, sloppy fatty's over.
Sloppy fat. Yes. There you go, crunch. I got another ad read, right? Football contest proxy. That's for us, right, Gumby? You have a graphic for it?
I'm going to throw up the Patreon one. There you go.
All right, it's fine. We got a football contest proxy, whatever that means. I know what football means. I know what contest is. What's a proxy? What's a football contest proxy? I know what a proxy is, too.
That's definitely not the great graphic. We're just going to look at your face while you do this.
All right, it's fine. Thinking of entering the Circa Survivor or Circa Millions contest, but don't live in Nevada, no problem. It's very easy to hire a proxy to submit the picks for you each week for your chance to win millions. Sign up in Las Vegas and then just submit your picks to your proxy. We partnered up with the gold standard of proxies over at footballcontestproxy.com. Plus, if you use the promo code SGP at checkout, you'll save $50 off the proxy fees. That's right. Just go to footballcontestproxy.com. That's footballcontestproxy.com. Promo code SGP to get $50 off. All right. You got to see me read
that. That was our ad read, by the way. And good. I definitely don't have a graphic for it. So I'm glad, for those of you who are on YouTube and just saw the Patreon graphic, get in on the SGPN Patreon. Help us beat corporate gambling.
Yeah, exactly. And you see, I'm on the ball. I knew what ad read to do. But you did see that I actually read the ads. I'm not just making these things up. I don't have them memorized. Sadly, I am not off book at this point. All right. We're moving down to lightweights. We're staying with the males. Austin Hubbard. Mikhail Figlak, Hubbard, United States, Figlak, Poland, 3 5-minute rounds, 155 pounds. We're going to tell you about Hubbard first. Thud, one of the best nicknames around, unless he's the one getting thudded. If he's causing people to thud, then it's a good nickname. And I assume that's what it means, right?
Yeah, they called him that on the regional scene one time when he had landed a whole bunch of leg kicks.
Yeah, thud, thud, thud. All right. That's exactly what leg kicks do, too. They thud. All right. Hubbard's 15-7, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been submitted 3 times. 3-5 in the UFC over 2 stints. 2-1 over his last 3. Got submitted in his last fight. That was for the Ultimate Fighter finale. He went 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter house. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. SportsGamblePodcast.com/store. Get sticky. Used to fight at welterweight. An inch of reach over Figlak. Better striking stats. Better grappling stats. He's twice more active landing strikes. But Figlak's only fought once in the UFC. Hubbard has outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.46 strikes per minute, plus 150. Figlak, mad dog, 8-1 with 4 knockouts, never been finished in a fight. 0-1 in the UFC, that was his last fight, which he did lose. That was way back in September of 2022. Where has he been, Gumby?
No idea.
All right, perfect. Back in Poland, probably. It would be my first guess, and then after that, we don't know.
Cornering his brother.
Oh, yeah, he's got a brother that fights, right?
Mm-hmm. Cage Warriors.
Yes, I do recognize that name. Regional champion, used to fight at featherweight. 5 years younger than Hubbard. He's got outstruck in his debut by 2.13 strikes per minute, minus 150. I'm going dog, Gumby. I'm going with Austin Hubbard. Like the resume better. I like the fact he's obviously been more active and actually has fought decent people recently. Like the fact that he used to be a welterweight fighting a guy who used to be a featherweight. He might be, you know, he's 5 years older, which is a little bit of a concern, but overall, I like the package he brings more than Figlak at this point. So let's roll the dice on a dog.
At the beginning of this episode, I said all the lines were right about where I expected. This one was not. This is one that is clearly, I assumed Figlak could be like plus 300. He hasn't been around in forever. He got pieced up and stuffed a whole bunch of times by Faris Zaim in his last fight. Like he's not a guy. If he can't get his wrestling going, he's got nothing. And I don't think he can get it going against Hubbard. Hubbard, like low key, so tough and gritty. Like, I mean, let's all remember Austin Hubbard is the person who made Matt Droshkov quit in the middle of a fight and lose his UFC contract. Because they fought for one round. Roshkoff had a whole bunch of takedowns and looked like he could probably get somewhere. And Hubbard just kept getting up and throwing bombs and getting in his face and being a dog. And then the second round came back and Roshkoff was like, nah, I don't want any of that anymore. and so like, he's that kind of guy. Figlak is like a D-League version of Max Roshkoff in my opinion. Max Roshkoff should have a contract more than Michael Figlak should, and that's with him having quit and all of that stuff. I think Hubbard's going to absolutely kill him here. Like, I think this is a mismatch that I thought we were going to have to get, like, negative 350 on, and we're seeing plus 150 instead. So, yes, Austin Hubbard is 1,000% the right play here.
Why are we getting the line we're getting? I'm not complaining about it, but why?
I don't know. Maybe because Figlak like has some grappling chops and we saw Hubbard get subbed last time, but like Michael Figlak is not Kurt Hollibaugh, right? Like and we just watched Hubbard piece up who'd he beat in the semifinals? Roosevelt Roberts. Like he beat up, although that was kind of a weird sparring match too. Like I guess maybe beat up is not the right word, but like he's a better striker than Roosevelt Roberts, who's like a long, lanky, nice striker. I can't imagine Figlak, the featherweight, is going to deal with that.
And who knows what type of fighter he is. We haven't seen him in, 2 years almost. So.
That's the other thing. Yeah. The layoff is damaging.
Yeah. All right. The main event of the prelims is the wacky fight we were talking about off the top here. It is 3 5-minute rounds at bantamweight. Hani Yahya, Brazil, Victor Henry, United States of America. Tell you about Yahya first. He's got such a fun name to say. He doesn't need a nickname. 28-11-1 with one no contest. He's been around the block. WEC never die. Yeah. 21 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. 13-5-1 with one no contest in the UFC. 2-1 over his last three. Got knocked out in his last fight, though. That was back in April 2023. He's not won since November 2021, so he's not been very active recently. He's fight at featherweight and lightweight. 4-3 in WEC. And as Gumby says, WEC never die. Blue mats forever. 2002... MMA professional debut, multi-time world champion in BJJ / grappling. He's got better grappling stats than Henry. He's been outstruck in the UFC barely. He's at a negative 0.18 strikes per minute, plus 400. Henry, La Mangosta, which is easily translated to
the mongoose.
Correct. 23-6 with one no contest, 6 knockouts, 8 submissions, never been finished in any fight. 2-1 with one no contest in the UFC. Last fight was a no contest for him. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. At shirt sportsgamblepodcast.com/store. What else can I tell you about? 2010 was his pro MMA debut. Got a silver medal in catch wrestling world championships. That is a thing. Inch of height, inch of reach over Yahya. 3 years younger, 5 times more active landing strikes. He's got a positive strike differential of 2.31 strikes per minute, minus 420. We just had 420 day a few days ago, but yes, minus 420. Go ahead.
Look, I'm the type of guy who will do anything in my power to find a reason to pick Hani Yahya. I love Hani Yahya. He's one of my, I interviewed him one time. He's like the nicest dude on the planet. He's a fun grappler who's got no striking skills to speak of. And he's lasted this long in the UFC/WEC. Like, I love that about him. There's no way you can take him in this fight. Victor Henry is the worst kind of matchup. Because, like, if you're thinking about Hani Yahya, Anytime I try to draw a path to victory, I try to say, like, hey, get some value on Hany Yahya at plus 470, right? I'm telling you to do that because he could sub him. He could sneak up on somebody, get into a submission situation, and sub him. Victor Henry is an incredible catch wrestler. He's an incredible catch wrestler with great cardio. So he's not going to tire out. I mean, like, this guy trains with Josh Barnett. Like, Josh Barnett is the guy when you think of catch wrestling in this day and age. Victor Henry is, like, one of his proteges. And, like, that is a nightmare for the jiu-jitsu world. I mean, like, jiu-jitsu found that out in what, like, 1994? Is that, like, these catch wrestling guys, when they show up and start to understand how to wrestle and ground and pound and put together a whole fight, are a nightmare for jiu-jitsu guys. And this is just going to be that old-school style fight. Victor Henry doesn't have to go to the ground if he doesn't want to. And if he does, he's going to be on top with all of the submission defense he would ever need to beat somebody like Hany Yahya. I think he's probably going to piece him up on the feet, but it would be really impressive if he took him to the ground and did something else. So I'm going to go Victor Henry here. As much as I love Hany Yahya, and even my slip up right there was trying to pick Hany Yahya.
Yeah,
I just can't do it.
No, I can't either. As you said, Henry is probably an equal or a different kind of grappler at the very least, same level and
powerful.
Way better. Way better on the feet if it turns into a standstill and the another guy can get the other one down. So yeah, Henry is the pick, another big chalky pick. But hey, we got to give you. Got to give you the winners here. All right, let's recap all of our picks here. We both have Henry, both have Hubbard, both have Mays, both have Souza, both have Jan Top. We both have Petrovic. We both have Mahashate. Yay! We copied each other the whole way. We're pretty good. Consensus, we're like 62% lifetime, I think, consensus. So there you go. We would have got most of those fights right, more than likely. All right, we're going to be back tomorrow. Well, we don't take days off except Friday and Saturday. We take those days off. We'll be back for the main card. In the meantime, we shall be in the Discord. We're always in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. If we're not there, then John will be there or someone else will be there. There shall be someone there.
Crunch is there.
Crunch, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, John gets pulled away by other sports sometimes. So, yes. Twitter, you can always... check us out on Twitter, SGPNMMA. Gumby runs that for us. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. I'm the same on Instagram. Check out my Substack. At the very least, you can enter my free pick'em contest. If you like what I do and you think I'm worthy of a paid subscription, you can do that as well. It would be moneymma.substack.com. Gumby has got Top Turtle MMA podcast. I listened to it today. Tell the people who are on it this week. Who is
so that? We're talking about a couple of LFA 182 fighters, which, by the way, you can go back and listen to our Monday episode where we previewed that fight card. I'm talking with Cheyenne Bowers, who is angling herself for a LFA title shot after this win, and Ma'aya, who is Ma'aya the second, I should say. Ma'aya the second, who has got one of the more interesting names in MMA, and he's a pretty interesting guy too.
Yep. You can find out how he got his nickname. He's the guy.
Not a nickname. Oh, that's his birth name.
No, his name. That's right. His birth name. Right. You can find out how he got it. Actually, you talked about him when we did LFA. The guy with all the commas in his name. So yes, check out that. Obviously you can check us out on YouTube. Subscribe if you could. All you Dragon Ball Z nerds, make sure you subscribe. what else? sportsgamblingpodcast.com, whether you're a nerd or not, that's the place to go for all of our content. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, so you can dress cool like Gumby and myself. And then sportsgamblingpodcast.com/patreon to help us crush that corporate gambling that's coming for us all. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. It will be me, Lord Kong, Jeff Fox, and the sawed-off savage, because he's shorter than me, Gumby Vreeland, and we will talk to you then. Bye-bye.